Hi, and welcome to another one of our podcasts. Today we're going to continue talking about faith, getting into a little bit more about what faith really is so that we can really understand and appreciate it, and really get into all the blessings that are available to us if we will only believe. A lot of these messages get kind of filtered through the word of faith ideology and philosophy, which is not always a correct philosophy when it comes to really understanding what faith is. And there's a lot of things that go into believing that we need to really understand from the point of view of what the Catholic Church teaches, and really understanding the difference between believing properly and believing presumptuously. Because sometimes when we believe presumptuously, we assume that God's going to do more than he's really promised to do, such as the case when you believe that you're saved and always saved, and that there's nothing that you do that's necessary to maintain that salvation, which is one side of the coin. And the other is doing everything all on your own without any trust of God. That is also a form of presumption, to where you're always trying to do things your way and work it out yourself and not really have any understanding that God does have his place as well in the process. So when we're kind of looking at what faith is, we need to understand what faith is actually seeing in order to bring it into the reality of belief. And a lot of this comes from really understanding and digging in to everything that faith really is about, which is everything that the Word of God teaches. Now, what does the Word of God teach? This is kind of a very hard topic for most people to understand, but if you get to really reading what the Church itself explains as the Word of God, you'll understand that, like from the Vatican II documents, especially can't remember the one now, the one about the Word of God, De Verbum, which is basically all about God and what he says, you find out that the revelation of God is not just the words written in Scripture, but it's also the teachings of the Church. Because Jesus sent his apostles out into the world to go and teach the gospel to all nations, teaching them to observe all that he's commanded them to do. Lo, I am with you until the end of the world, as he says in Matthew 28, verse 20. So we kind of get that understanding there. So we get to learn a little bit more about what faith is. In fact, we learn that faith is not something we have as much as something that we do. It's something we're called to believe in. It's our way of participating. It's not that faith saves us, because grace is what saves us. That's the thing that we don't work for, that we don't have a boast of. But it's our cooperation, which is faith, that actually brings the grace of God into our lives. We also get to understand from yesterday's teaching about how faith is not necessarily hoping. It's something that we will have as an answer 10 years down the road, or 50 years down the road, or a million years down the road. Faith is something that is a believing that we have right now. And because it's a believing right now, it has to have a certain focus, a certain thing that it looks at. So the eyes of faith that's looking at these things as having already having happened is focused upon what God's word is today. In fact, the center scripture, or the main scripture that we could kind of base all of this on, is found in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 and 22, where you're basically told from the scripture, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear into my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." So we need to start noticing little things from the scripture, that the scripture basically tells us not to let them depart from our eyes. Many people fail because they see themselves as failing. It's kind of the optimistic worldview that we're supposed to have. As some Word of Faith people have kind of said, a lot of people see themselves as sick. That's why they see themselves as dying. They don't really see themselves as crucified with Christ, with that eternal hope, that blessedness of the resurrection. And therefore, they don't see the victory in their sufferings and sicknesses. And this is where a lot of people miss it. They're looking for perfect health and healing instead of seeing the grace of God that guides them through every moment of their lives. I have a friend that experiences intense migraines, and I know from listening to this person talk that the migraines are so much that it's really debilitating. They don't really go out and do a whole lot of things and experience the world the way you and I do, because the migraines are so much that it just stops them from moving forward. And a lot of that, their focus is on the migraines rather than what on the task that they're trying to enjoy and do. And therefore, the migraines take over kind of a huge part of this person's life. It's kind of, in a lot of ways, something that I keep praying about and hoping that God gives the answer to this person so that they can effectively walk through life more properly and not let the migraines control them, but actually have a little bit more say and control over the migraines. And one of the ways is by, you know, if that person would ever meditate on Matthew 8, verse 17, they would see that Jesus Christ himself has taken away our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, if we let that, and this goes for all those who have some type of illness, that if you let that word not depart from your eyes and really understand it, you'll start to understand that you have a victory over your sickness and diseases. In fact, I have diabetes, and it's not so much that these infirmities and diseases are gone and all that jazz, that I'm no longer diabetic. That's not the way this is looked at. It's looked at as this isn't a limitation on you having the full life, because there's grace that will allow you to overcome it. And this is what's being talked about in the catechism when it's talking about the anointing of the sick, that it allows you to, as by the grace of God and the ecclesial grace that's placed within it, is seeing that as a way of being consecrated to Christ and really experiencing everything else. In fact, the grace, the particular grace of the Holy Spirit being anointed unto the sick, is a grace of the gift of the Holy Spirit who renews the trust and faith in God and strengthens that individual against the temptation of the evil one. The temptation to discouragement is done away with, and also the anguish in the face of death. Because the assistance from the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit is meant to lead the sick person to a healing of the soul and also of the body, if it is God's will that they also be healed physically. But it's not necessarily that physical healing is the ultimate end of any prayer for the sick. It's more that you're able to be led to a healing of the soul so that you have a proper outlook, a proper way of dealing with your sicknesses and illnesses and other infirmities. Because if you see yourself as somebody that's basically being hindered by your illness or by your disease, you'll never see what the word of the Lord is talking about when it's trying to really make the grace of God and his ability to transform your lives more reality into your life. And it also prevents you from being able to act on his word properly to where you really understand what verse 22 of Proverbs 4 is talking about, where it tells you that the word of God is life unto those that find them and health unto their flesh. And this is not going just with the words that you read in Scripture, but it's also with the things that your ear hears, because it says, incline your ear unto my saying in verse 20. So it's showing that it's not just the written word of God that people have in the Scriptures, it's the spoken word of God, the oral word of God, that comes down through the teaching office of the church. And this is where a lot of Protestants get messed up, is because they don't understand that there is a two-way in which God speaks to us. It's in the Scriptures, by his words that are written down in all the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, but it's also the message that comes to you from the pulpit every Sunday. And if you have the wrong message coming from the pulpit every Sunday, you don't have everything that God is trying to have for you here, especially because the words of God, if you really find them, they are life to you and they are health to you. And it's understanding how this is. Now, what are the directions for how this works? Well, the directions are kind of a twofold. It's first, attend to, study and know the Word of God. And the second is, keep them in the midst of your heart. This is what verse 21 is talking about, which means that there is an obedience that you are required to have in the face of hearing the testimony of God and it as a person that truly believes in Him. A lot of people don't understand the obedience part because they think it's a one or the other. You attend to, you study, you really get to know, you have faith in what God has to say. That's why you're listening to this podcast. But then you have to keep them in the midst of your heart. You have to go about every minute of every second of the next day or so and keep going even beyond that to really experience the fullness that God is trying to give you in His Word. This is really what God's medicine is. It's the Word of God that comes both in the form of Scripture and in the teachings that the church has passed down so that you would know, as he commanded the apostles to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them the commandments of God, that you really get the full gospel message, not just a part that's broken off for Baptist or Methodists or Episcopals or Anglicans or non-denominationalists or whoever. It's the full gospel of God, because we need to keep the things of God, the things that the Word of God says both orally and scripturally, from departing from our eyes, because that's what we look at. This is how we get our mind on the answer. This is how we really get to understand what God is trying to really say to us. And this is when we really are constantly meditating upon what God has said, because we're really affirming every part of this. We're not just affirming blindly the parroting, vain repetition, oh, by His stripes I'm healed, or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That line there really gets abused. Or I have riches and glory in Christ Jesus because He's going to supply all my needs according to those riches, blah, blah, blah. It's really getting into what God says so that you're not mixing faith when you should have hope, not mixing hope when you should have faith, and really getting to a point to where you really can pray effectively instead of, as James chapter 4 verse 3 says, asking amiss or consuming it upon your desires instead of for the glory of God, which are the two reasons why any prayer does not get answered. In fact, if you really understand what James is talking about in the fourth chapter when he says you asked and received not because you asked amiss, you asked incorrectly, that you may consume it upon your lust, that you may basically commit sin with it. These are the two criteria that makes any kind of sin properly improper. And really, as part of asking amiss, is not asking correctly, not believing before you receive something. Because as Mark 11:24 points out, you have to believe you've got something from God by faith before you actually receive it in the natural sense of the word. Because as he says, what things, regardless of what it is that you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, how is it that you can believe that what you desire is possible to be received? It's because you know from studying the Word of God and listening to the testimony that comes down through the church magisterium what things you can believe. You can believe, for instance, that when you're really seeking healing, that you receive the Holy Spirit in you to really give you victory over that. Not just merely the physical healing, but the healing of your soul, the healing of your conscience, the healing that is a forgiveness of God being received in you to truly go forward. It's believing that when you go forward for communion, that you really are receiving the Lamb of God because He's incarnate in that bread in that wine in a very unique way, to where we can call the bread no longer bread, but the body of God, Christ, and the wine no longer wine, but the blood of Christ, that we really, really, truly, honestly receive it. Because this is how believing comes before receiving. There's a lot of people that go about saying that they're trying to believe, but they can't see what it is. It's because they're trying to do it in a very natural, rational way of doing things, which is not what God is wanting them to do. He wants them to look beyond stuff and realize that even in the world, there's a lot of things that happen that we can't see but actually happen. In fact, we know just by using the idea of nuclear energy that there's radioactive material that's the result of this stuff. This is the stuff that's made into the nuclear weapons that have destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and we've got even greater bombs than those nowadays. And every nuclear plant, whether it's the one in Fukushima, Japan, that had the problem, or Chernobyl a couple years back in Russia, or even the Three Mile Island catastrophe that happened in the late 70s. These nuclear facilities can release things into the atmosphere, a radioactive waste as it is, that can be harmful to us. It's why people are afraid of dirty bombs being blown up somewhere in the world, because you can't see or feel their destructive power, but they are destructive nonetheless. So in a sense, there is this understanding that there is a place of faith that goes beyond not seeing, but is knowledgeable of, because it knows it's available in there. And this is what we're really needing to look at. In fact, if we really understand how faith works in all of our circumstances, we need to look at Hebrews chapter 13, specifically verses 5 and 6, because there we're basically told that he has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Because of this, we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what anyone can do unto me." So this here really gets into the whole thing. Do you really know that all things work together for good? Not that all things are good, but that everything's being worked out for your good. Because if you can say, "The Lord's my helper, I'll never be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to persevere." Because if we truly get into that, we can truly understand it. It really changes how it is. I'm pretty certain you've heard many people say, "Hey, you know, I've asked for you to pray for this and this, but it really feels as if the Lord's forsaken me, that this happened or that happened." And a lot of people walk away from the church and God because they feel forsaken by God instead of really understanding how God's working that situation out to a greater good. Another thing you'll probably hear is a lot of people saying, "You know, I don't know if I can make it or not. I keep hoping I can. Just pray for me that I'll hold out and be faithful till the end." Well, this is a familiar request of many people who've ever been to a prayer meeting of any kind, or gone to a service at a Protestant church where they allow for people to basically put out their own petitions. But this is not exactly what it is that we're asked. We're not to go around talking about how we're defeated and how our lives are ruined. We're supposed to be looking for something a little bit greater, because the Lord is our helper. God's basically said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And because of that, we can boldly say, "God's here helping me. He's with me even until the end of my life, even until the end of the age." And this is really where it comes into play, because the scriptures make it clear that we're supposed to see God as our helper, and that he's the one that heals us. He's the one that takes away our infirmities and our sicknesses. And therefore, it's not about us living in defeat. It's about us living and seeing the answers that we are children of God. We are overcomers of the world because of the faith that we have in Christ, because we are truly appropriating that which is the substance of things that we don't see, and the evidence of things that we only hope for. In fact, the devil can't defeat any one of us, because in a sense, Jesus has already defeated the devil for each one of us. And it's not the devil that defeats us. In a sense, we defeat ourselves. We allow ourselves to get off track, see the wrong things, look at the wrong things, and forget where we're at. Think of Peter. He was called to walk on water. He got out of the boat. He walked to Jesus on the water. Then he stopped looking at Jesus. It wasn't Jesus that failed him. He started looking at the sea and the waves and everything. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not in a boat anymore. So he started sinking and he cried out, Lord, help me. And the Lord reached out, grabbed him by the arm, got him to start walking again on the water, held him the whole way back into the boat instead of to shore, to the boat. And that there is a lesson for us that we need to really get the right perspective. Because if we permit our lives to be something that is defeated by Satan, that's when we really give in to him and allow for the worst to actually happen in a situation. But you see, God's given us his word. He's given us the testimony of Scripture and the testimony of the magisterium of the church, the teaching office of the church, so that we will know what to believe, so that we can truly experience God as our helper in all of our lives and really get us to the proper shore. Because faith always sees the answer. It sees what the word of God tries to tell us. Because when it says, by whose stripes we're healed, we understand how healing works, that it's by his stripes, by us being united with Christ on the cross, that we truly experience the blessing of healing that goes through our lives, because we're not limited by that situation to live for God, because we can live for him even more completely and wholly. In fact, as Philippians 4:19 points out, this is where the scripture is, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. This is something that we can know. God supplies all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He's the storehouse of everything that we need is stored up in Jesus. And if we really become branches on the vine, we can overcome everything that comes in our way throughout life. And this is why we can say, like what Psalm 27 verse 1 says, that the Lord is the strength of our life, because we're really experiencing it as a branch on the vine. In fact, if we really wanted to boil this down into a very simple statement, we can really say that faith in God is simply being able to declare what God has spoken to us in the magisterium of the church and sacred scripture. Because we have what the word of God in both these areas says we have, and it really makes us understand what we are, because that's who we really are. We're children of God. We're adopted sons and daughters. We're branches on the vine. We're truly crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Because if we really understand it, if we really understand the depths of his care for us, we can really experience more than what we've truly experienced before. And this is why in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it tells us that we can see that we have a great high priest, one that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Therefore, we can hold fast the very professions that we maintain. This is where being properly optimistic instead of trying to change a circumstance into a good thing through some type of false belief, it comes into play, because the profession of God is merely the profession of our Christian faith. And this is really where we get this understanding. Because Jesus Christ, he's the one that's at the right hand of the Father, who makes intercession for us and really makes our prayer petitions effective. When we truly know what to pray for in faith, what we can truly receive from in prayer, because Jesus in heaven represents us in the sight of God at the throne of God. And he's basically pointing out to the Father when we're praying, yes, I died in the place of so-and-so. I died for them as their substitute. He didn't die for himself. He didn't need to be redeemed. He wasn't the one that was lost. He wasn't the one that needed someone to die for him. But instead, he became our substitute. He took our sins. He bore our sicknesses. He carried our diseases. He died for us, rose from the dead for us, and has ascended into heaven to be in heaven for us so that we can come up there. And he did all this for us so that if we hold fast to what we know to be our blessed truth in Christ Jesus, we can receive them in our lives in the proper way that they're supposed to be done up. In fact, it goes so far as to remind us in Mark 11:23 what he really meant when he says, "If you say unto a mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you're saying will come to pass, you'll have whatever you have that you're saying." Faith keeps only in the heart, and never really acted upon, never brings the full truth of this passage here. But if you truly want to experience all the graces and all the things that God wants to have, you have to become a praying person, basically talking to God and really standing upon what it is His Word really has in faith, receiving them now so that you can truly bring about the results of God. And this comes about because we are confessing what we don't let our eyes depart from. We really see the answer to what we're praying for actually happening, and we're motivated to believe that because of the truth of God's Word and who He is to us. So let's start getting into this whole thing to where we can truly see the answer, because by continually looking at the Word of God, really understanding everything that He teaches us through the church's teaching office and sacred scripture, we can really get into what it is that we're to be really focused on and believing is possible, because God is for us and not against us in any way, shape, or form. So hopefully this gives you something to think about today, so that when you're really praying your scripture, your prayers today, and you're really experiencing what the scriptures have to teach you today, that you really get into this from the standpoint of true faith, really seeing these answers, really seeing Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, really seeing Christ in everyday life, really walking with you and being a part of your lives in a very unique way. Because if you will get to that point to where you can really see this happening, then you truly will be blessed. And as always, you'll experience a very blessed day.